Special number 5868, Heart in Monday, part 15.
Well, now, before I continue with these tales, I found out a little later that that large dugout that I went into before these officers, staff officers, I found out later that that was actually the German headquarters of that part of the Hindenburg Line. And you can understand then why we were so badly cut up getting across no man's land. Well, now, I was being taken alone. I was told these two young Germans should take me back for interrogation. Well, now, I'll follow the trail on now from when we left that old farmhouse. Well, we wandered across quite a number of fields before we came to a sort of a country road, only a small road, and we went some distance along that when we could hear a long way off a lot of rumbling, and as it got gradually closer, it turned out to be a lot of batteries of artillery which they were bringing up to the line, fresh supplies of guns and so forth. Well, in those days they wasn't motorised at all. They were the same as ours, just horses drawing. And just a little incident, as they was going by, us three stood at the side of the road, and as they was going by, I just sort of had a look to see who we were, but one of them, on one of the leading horses, the leader for the horses, rode horseback to lead. Well, one of them, when it got to us, he had a look and saw that I was a Britisher, so he let drive at me with his whip. Well, I happened to see, I was watching, and I see him turn round and fling his whip at me, and I ducked. And it hit one of these young Germans that was with me. Well, there was a hell of a lot of shouting and hollering, but I didn't know what they said, but I've got a good idea of what they meant. Well, after they'd gone by, we wandered slowly along this road, narrow road, and the three of us, it was just about the same as if there were three young chaps in England going for a night out, all friendly like. Slowly we wandered along all for a long, long way, and then in the distance you could hear some marching and singing, and as we listened they were singing "It's a Long Way to Tipperary." I thought, oh well, I nudged these two chaps, and as we got closer I tried to make out to them to let me go and join them. And no, they wouldn't. They didn't intend to. But I sort of begged them, let me go and join these other British prisoners. Well, they'd evidently been caught in a batch. And no, they wouldn't let me go. Well, after a bit, they drifted apart then and went along another road somewhere, because they didn't get closer than, well, perhaps half a mile away when I heard them playing it. But they drifted away and we slowly went along this road. We came to a to a small village, and we stopped at a biggish house, looked like a farmhouse or so in the village, and went in there, and there was a long room in there, sort of a long kitchen with tables along it, and old trestle tables and forms along the side, and there was each side of the table was a lot of German infantry, and they was having the supper, and they seemed all right to me, and one of these young Germans put me round the back, so I got me back to the wall behind a row of these Germans having the supper. Well, now, as I stood there, one of the Germans put his hand round the back, caught out of my leg and fumbled about for my hand. And then when he found me hand, he put a lump of black bread and a piece of fat in it. as good as say, you have this, but don't let them see you. But I can't remember now whether I eat it then or later. But anyway, that was a gesture that I got from them. Well, after we came out, these two young Germans stopped and had a bit of supper with them, coffee and so forth. And when we came out, oh, we wandered then quite a long way. And we came to a large chateau. And it was a big building right out in the country. And when we got there, it was all dark, blacked out. And one of the young soldiers that was with me, he went up all white steps at the front there was. And he went up these steps, knocked the door, and he was let in. And after a time he came back and said something to the other German, and we sat down on these steps outside. Evidently, they'd all gone to bed and I hadn't got to be interviewed there. That was the object, of course. And he came out, we sat on the steps. I put my elbows on my knees, sat there, and I went fast asleep. Well, when I woke, it was broad daylight. Sun was up and it was broad daylight. They hadn't disturbed me. And all around there was loads of Germans. And I wondered where the hell I was when I opened my eyes. But they were all very nice, jabbering round and looking at me. And after a little while, this German called me that came with me, one of these are the two, tapped me on the shoulder and said, come along. And I went into this big house, took me into a room, a sort of office place, and there was a German sat at a table, and he could speak perfect English, well, better than I can anyway. And then he started asking me different questions, such as, what's your regiment, or ship, because he could see that, and all you're allowed to tell under the Geneva Convention is your name, your regiment, and your number, and no more. Well, I told him that, my regiment, and number. I showed him my shoulder badges to prove that I was right, Oxford and Buckside Infantry. He said, yes. He said, no, he said, what brigade are you in? I said, I don't know. So he said, well, what's your division? I said, I don't know. So he said, well, what's your army corps? I said, I don't know anything. I said, I've only just come out here. I've come fresh from England. I said, I'm new. I don't know anything, whatever. So he said, well, he said, why did you say that? I said, because it's true. He said, well, what's them things on your arm doing? Well, I got three wound stripes there. So he said, hey, sir, you've got three wound stripes. No, two wound stripes. I got two then, of course. You've got two wound stripes on your arm, he said, and you tell me that this is your first time out here. I said, it's not my first time, I said. I tried edge it, I said, but I'm new. I said, I don't know who I'm with or anything about it. I said, yes, I've been wounded, I said, and I've sent out, and I've only been with them a week or two, I don't know who they are, whatever. Oh, well, he said, if you don't, he said, I'll tell you. And I'm buggered if he didn't tell me not only battalion, what it was, what my brigade was, what the division was, and everything. He knew a hell of a lot more about it than I did myself. So at the finish he let me go. Well, I went out and sat outside. I didn't sit out because it was morning then. Went and stood out, they took me outside. Well, these crowd of Germans, they'd got a cooker there in the yard, and dish me up, give me a slice of bread and a bit of fat on it, some coffee, well, which was not real coffee because they couldn't get it about that time then, they'd run out of real coffee, piece of bread, and sat chatting round with me. They was as nice as could be. Well, I stayed there the whole of the morning till they dished up the dinner. They give me the same dinner as I had myself. They fetched a bowl for me and a spoon, dished it up with sauerkraut. That's all sauerkraut their food was then. And there was a little bit of pink meat in, which was horse flesh. I'd never had it before, but it tasted all right. They said it was horse flesh, as they made out it was. And it was, I suppose. And also in the stew was prunes. I'd never had them before, only prunes in custard. But they'd got prunes in the stew. And it went down all right. I really, oh, blimey. And I had a good feed of this stew. Well then, after dinner, after I'd had that feed, something had to happen then. I'd got to be moved up there. Serve the purpose, me being interviewed and that sort of thing. These two young Germans then, I couldn't understand what they said, but I knew what they meant. They were going back to join the unit at the front, up at the Arras front, and handed me over to the authorities there at this chateau. And when they left, they loaded both of them to shake hands with me and give me a pat on the back. We were just like three mates, you tell me. And that's the way they treated me. Real kindness. And then after dinner, then things began to alter. Then realised where I was. All the fun had gone, as you might say. But up at the front, I'm going to say this now before I carry on any farther. Up the front, in the trenches, they was like us. Young chaps were not soldiers. I wasn't, nor was it 99 out of 100 then. We were young chaps come out of our homes just to run into a war. And the chaps at the front there, the young Germans, were the same as we was. But it was when you got back behind, that's when you started to run up against trouble. Now, after they went, I was handed over to a bloke on horseback. He was a Uhlan. What they call Uhlans then. Well, the Uhlans was the Kaiser's cavalry, similar to our household cavalry. And they're not too kind to you. They're all steeped down with military training. Well, I was handed over to him, and we started off. I'd got a walk then, and he was on horseback. Well, after we'd gone a few miles along this road, I could see in the distance two young Germans coming along, and it evidently was they was going back to the front. I bet they'd been on leave and just making their way back up to join the regiment. Well, just as I got to them, I was thirsty. Just as they got to me, I put my hand to them and I wanted a drink. And one of these young Germans, he come across, got his water bottle, handed it to me, and I had a swig at it, and he snatched it out of my hands, and I don't wonder at it. It wasn't water at all. He got his rum and stuff like that, and all blown, it went down great. And this Uhlan, he played out with these two young soldiers, and they give him all the answers he wanted, and then away we went then. Now, how far it was, I don't know. But eventually, as I found out afterwards, of course, we arrived at a place called Douai. Douai or Douai, northern France. And got there, then I joined the right raw mob of them there. All the British prisoners there, right crowd it was. Well, you see, they'd all been captured in bunches, and me being alone, well, it's a nice thing to join up with English people. Well, we were there all quite some time. Well, our chaps that had been there before, they'd all been searched. And as soon as I got there, they told me, I said, you'll have to be searched. So I whipped me wallet out, undone me putties, shoved it up my trousers leg and put me putties over the top. So when they searched me, I hadn't got that then at all, so I carried that home right through. For now, then, he was taken from there into some old French barracks. They were large barracks, double-story high, and there was quite a mob there. Well, then, you had to start work. Every morning, he was taken out to do different jobs, such as stripping factories there, emptying them out, the machinery all taken out, and loaded up to be sent back into Germany. And then there was, every day there was quite a lot, was taken away up to the back of the German lines, unloading shells and all that, working there, working behind the German lines, and there was quite a lot of air chaps got busted up and killed doing that alone behind the German lines. And then I was lucky I wasn't sent up there. But there was one working party especially that I was on, and we were digging a great big pit in the railway yard, the goods yard at the railway station. We were digging a great pit, and in the centre of it was making a well. And I never seen anything like it before. It was like a large drain pipe, steel, with a teeth at the bottom, and fitted at the top all around was ropes and a gantry. And then about six of us there, we had to pull this up and down and let it go bang down in the ground, and then haul it up again and empty the earth all out, making a deep well. Well, we had a day or two at that job, and I found out, they told us afterwards, well, we found out naturally, what they intended to do was to fill that with explosives and shoot out the British breakthrough, then that would all be blown up, the station and everything near it. That was the object. Well, one day when I was coming back from there, we used to march down the roads all run almost level with the houses. Well, in this case they did anyway. We were marching down and there was some woman and a little kiddie standing at the door. Well, as we went by, I was nearest to the wall that side. This little kiddie left his mum and run and caught me and put a piece of bread in me hand. And straight away I whipped my old steel out. Oh, I'll give it him. I wonder what happened to that afterwards. I'll give it to little kiddie me steel out. Well, now in that yard there, we used to have to sleep up in the top. Well, now, there was one or two occasions when, I've told you about those heavy garrison guns. Well, they were firing shells from behind our line onto parts of Douai. And on one occasion, when we was all back from work, in the yard at the back, they sent a big one over and crashed Andy. And all the Germans, they bundled us lot up top of the barracks, and they all went down below in the cellars till it finished. But the nearest we got, they hit a gasometer and that blew up. But apart from that, none of us was hurt at all. We was there perhaps two or three weeks, but there was nothing really interesting to talk about. But eventually we moved from there. They loaded us up in a train load of cattle trucks. And, what would it be? The old sliding door cattle trucks that you see. And perhaps be 40 or 50 in a truck, roughly. And it was a nice day. And as we went along, each truck had a German sentry with it. And it was a nice day, and he sat on the side with his legs hanging out. And it was a bit of a card. Some of our chaps jokingly said, oh, kick the bugger out. That was caused a bit of a laugh, but gosh, you didn't. Well, now, eventually, we arrived at Lille. Now then, this is where kindness ended, completely ended. And we run into a right load of cruelty. I'll try and describe it as well as I can. When we got to Lille, oh, got a hell of a cold. When we got to Lille, they marched us from the railway station to some forts. They were forts that they call were built years ago for defence of Lille. Now, I thought, near as I can describe it, to look at, it looked like a great big molehill with a top cut off, if you know what I mean. And to get onto it, there was a great big gate to go through, and you went over sort of a drawbridge affair. But anyway, we marched in fours, and we marched into a large open courtyard, and around it was like looking into a cage. There were sort of dungeons in it, and the front of them was all ironwork, like iron gates. Now, each one held roughly about 50 men. They was in a row, held about 50 men in each, and the floor was stone concrete, and there was a sort of a corridor at the back with a door in. Now, I can't be sure whether we were all taken around the back or whether they opened the front. I think they opened this cage front, not the cage, front, and pushed us in like that. Well, now, soon as we arrived into that courtyard, we was all assembled round it, and then in came a soldier dressed as a Canadian infantryman. And they brought a table, they put a table, well, the table was there ready, as a matter of fact. And this Canadian soldier stood up on the table and he said, now he said, I'm one of you, I'm a Canadian soldier. He says, but I've been told to tell you that you're sent here especially for cruelty, designed for that purpose. And the reason was that British prisoners, German prisoners of war in Africa were being ill-treated, and you will each be given a piece of paper to write home and tell your relatives, parents, whoever it may be, write home, each one of you, and tell them that you're being cruelly treated for that reason. Well, they came round, they handed us all with a bit of paper to write on, because the answer was very quick. Tore the buggers up, let them get on with it. But blimey, didn't we suffer for it. Now, I'll try and describe some of the things that happened there. All we had was one little bit of bread in the morning and one drop of coffee. Coffee, that was, wasn't real coffee, it's corn grain or something, ground black, and that was the coffee. No sugar in it, no milk, just this coffee and a slice of bread, that was your day's ration, nothing more. And the things they used to do, we got as weak as hell. We did in a few days, we were in a hell of a state. And that was all we got. Then during the day, at the end of this yard, was a cookhouse where they done the cooking, not for us, for the Germans there. Well, those Germans, they were hand-picked, specially picked, similar to the SS in the last war. And many of them, they told us that some of them guards there that had the sons killed at the Western Front, and they intended taking it out on us. So when I went hungry as hell, we used to get up near the railings at the front, and I'd walk through at the end of the yard where the cookhouse was. I'd go and get the dinner, which very often was a bloater and hot spuds, and they used to walk down in front of us and hold it up against the bars in front of us to make it all bloody hell, I could have had anything then, we could. Hold it up and hold it in front of us to show you what we got. Well, that carried on. Whenever they fetched the food, they showed it to us and laughed at us. And I know one occasion, I was parched with thirst. It was getting hot then. It was a lovely May month, getting hot. And I stood again in the front of this dungeon, because they were dungeons. And I saw a German there, and I beckoned to come over to me and held my hand up for a drink, beckoning I wanted a drink. And oh, he laughed. He said, and away he went. I thought, oh, hell, I found a kind one at last. What he done, he went and fetched half a bucket of beautiful clean water. He showed it to me and wiggled it about in front, and I kept putting my hands through the bars, and then he stood just back, just a yard or so, and slowly tipped all the bloody lot on the road. That's some of the tricks they got out. Now here's cruelty, if you like. After a few days, some of them as wasn't too strong, they began to pass out a little bit. Oh, I tell you, the sanitary arrangements, I haven't mentioned that. Well, along this here bit of a corridor at the back, where the door, they used to open the door and put in a tub, something like an old-fashioned water butt cut in the middle. That was your toilet arrangement. No paper, nothing. Just the tub there, treated like dogs, animals. And then every morning, the door would open and I'd grab the first two nearest the door, or four, and make you cart that out and empty. Well, now, after a bit, there was one or two of the chaps began to crop up. And I've seen this happen several times. In particular, in the one that I was in, there was one chap that had been groggy for a day or two, but he passed out. And we shouted through these bars and opened it and pointed to this kid laying on the floor. So all they come in, a couple of Germans come along that car, open the door, come in, one got out of one arm, one got out of the other, they dragged him along on his face, not lifted, just dragged him along, took him round the end and dragged him out in the middle of the yard. I went and fetched a bucket of water and swirled him all over with water, and he never moved, he laid there. I left him there 5 or 10 minutes. Then they come back again. Come back with another bucket of water. Swirled him again, slung it all over him. Left him again for 5 or 10 minutes and he never moved. I come again, one caught out of one arm, one off the other, and they dragged him away. We never see him again. He'd gone. Now every day that happened to not one but three or four, they swelled with water. Well, most of them, after a good old swilling, they managed to drag them up onto the feet and push them back in whichever dungeon they come out of. And that was bitter cruelty. I don't know how long we were there now, because it's so long ago, but I reckon we were there about a week or 10 days. I reckon another 10 days with that treatment, they'd have killed a lot of us. But now that was pure cruelty.